Well, the word's good. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for doing your job this week, sir. If you weren't watching my live stream last week, you don't know what I'm talking about. I picked on Jeff last week. I had told him before service, I said, I'll grab the pulpit today. And then when he didn't grab the pulpit, I threw him under the bus and said, what the heck? You know, I just skipping on your job. Mr. Faithful over here. Praise God. So, hallelujah. God is good to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open to Hosea 4 and verse 6. We'll do just a little bit of review and then we'll get going here. Hosea is right towards the end of the Old Testament there. And if you don't want to find it, you know we have it up on the screen here for you. But we're going to do, this is part two of our series that we started last week entitled The Dangers of Not Knowing. And most likely there's going to be a part three, but this is so important. Why? It's in the title. There's dangers of not knowing. Praise God. And so let's go ahead and pray and believe God for utterance, for boldness. Father, thank you for helping us this morning. I know I need help, and I'm grateful that you're willing and available and offering that help. And Father, we need words from heaven. We don't need man's ideas, man's philosophies, theories, or opinions or thoughts. We need thoughts from heaven, straight from the throne room. And so, Father, I thank you as I open my mouth to declare your word that you'll fill it with words from heaven. Boldness and utterance will be the flow. I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you for a supernatural service. And what I mean is that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words that people need to hear, words that will comfort people, words that will help people, words that will give people answers, possibly correction that they might need that will save their life and help their life. Father, it'll be a supernatural because I'm going to say things, Father, that are so specific, so pertinent to people's individual circumstances and situations and the season of life they're in that, Father, they're going to wonder, how in the world did he know that I needed to hear that? Well, Father, I didn't know it, but you did. And it'll be a sign unto people of how real you are, how much you love them, and that this is a safe place where they can come and hear from heaven for answers for their lives. And so, Father, we don't take this for granted. We don't look at this as just another ordinary service. We're ready for our lives to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm so thankful for the leading of the Spirit because the Bible is vast and there's so many things to talk about in there. There's so many topics that God has offered us. And, you know, if you didn't have the Holy Spirit, which the Bible says is the guide that lives on the inside, as a preacher, that would be so frustrating. That would be maddening because what do I share, you know? There's people with different, going through different things, facing different things, and there's so many topics. Do I itty, mini, miny, mo my way? Do I just flip through and just stop? And I'm so thankful we don't do that around here, that we seek God, and that I can stand in the pulpit confidently every single week knowing that I'm delivering what I've sought God on and what He put on my heart. I've never just come up with a sermon on my own or thought, wow, this sounds like a good idea to preach. There's been things before that I've brought to him and said, Lord, I've seen some things in the church, people going through that. What do you think about that? And he'll put some things on my heart concerning those things. But I wait on God, and I'm so thankful because this series is so important, and it's on the heels of the Miracle Crusades and what Pastor Nancy was talking about with dominion and authority and how that, you know, many people don't walk in their dominion or authority just because they don't know about it. They don't know how to walk in their dominion authority. And I sat in those services grieved in the sense that because the Holy Spirit revealed to me by a word of knowledge that the majority or there's a great portion of the body of Christ that sits in ignorance. They don't know what's available to them. And when you don't know what's available to you, you don't take part. I remember taking the kids to Midway Park. And Midway Park's fun, don't misunderstand me. But Midway Park is not Disney World. And I remember telling my kids, you know, I'd love to take you to Disney World. No, Dad, we just want to go to Midway. We just want to stay at Midway. Why? That's all they knew. They didn't know there was something greater, something grander, something better that would have bigger rides, better rides, better snacks and different things, better food, better accommodation, all the stuff. Why? They and if you don't ever know about it, then you'll just stay at Midway your whole life. And nothing wrong with Midway, but if there's more, praise God. And they didn't know it. And that's what it is with a lot of people in the body of Christ. And I sat there in those services thinking, This is sad because this is true, because I'll deal with a lot of people and the things that come out of their mouth or the way they're acting or how they're feeling about a situation or their attitudes. You know, they just don't know what's offered to them. They don't know that there's a better life, and they might have heard about a better life, but they don't even know how to begin to go down the road to obtaining this or acquiring this. And so we're talking about some things, and Hosea 4:6 was our starting place last week. And it says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for." Now, you could fill in a whole lot of things after that word "for" of why people maybe think they're not doing well or why they're being destroyed. Sickness, disease, symptoms, you know, financial problems, grew up in the wrong family, you know, grew up, with abusive parents or people that didn't help them, or in a poverty-stricken family or poverty-stricken neighborhood, or, you know, things in their lives that's negative circumstances. That's not why the Bible says people are destroyed. People are not destroyed because of their circumstances. Why? Because God has offered us His word and His power to rise above our circumstances. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you as a Christian, don't play the role of victim. I'm not saying things don't come against us, and sometimes things are very hard and nasty, but when you know who you are in Christ, you are the furthest thing from a victim. You are a victor in Him. He's given you the opportunity and the means by which to rise above and to be victorious and to supersede everything that comes your way. Now, again, whether or not people walk that out and partake of that, it comes down to one thing and one thing only: what they know and what they don't know. And isn't it amazing? He uses such strong language. He said people are actually destroyed because of what they don't know. Well, Jesus said the same thing over in John 8:32. Again, this is just a little bit of review from last week. Of course, that sermon is online if you want to go back and look at that if you haven't. But Jesus said the same thing, and of course He did, because God and Jesus don't contradict themselves. They're the same. Jesus said this. He said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, is it freedom what we're looking for? How many of you know sick people are not free? They're in bondage to those symptoms, that bondage in their body. How many of you know poverty? People in poverty are usually not the most joyous. People that can't pay their bills, that don't know how they're going to put food on the table for their kids, or put food in the cupboard, or adequately provide for family, those people usually aren't hop skipping around in joy. Why? Because it's bondage. It's bondage, amen? People that suffer from depression, I know, I've been there. People that suffer from emotional and mental torment, there's no freedom there. It's bondage, glory to God. And the Bible says that Jesus came to give us life, or the heaven kind of life, and more abundantly. Remember it said in the Old Testament that He would give the people days of heaven on the earth? Remember when Jesus prayed, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven." Well, think about what it's going on in heaven, days of heaven on earth. There's no depression up there. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no sickness. There's no bondage up in heaven. And Jesus said, "I've come to give you the heaven kind of life here on earth. I want you to experience that here on earth." But let's be honest. In our own lives, at times, we could say, "I'm not seeing that. I'm not feeling that." Or you look around at other Christians and think, "That certainly doesn't look like heaven. If that's what heaven's like, I don't want to go there." Right? Christians dealing with same things over and over again, never getting out of their sickness, never getting out of that torment, never getting out of that poverty, constantly spinning their wheels. Like, wait a second, what's all this talk of abundant life? What's all this talk of blessing? Well, Jesus said the things that are holding us in bondage, we can be made free from those things if we know the truth. He says that the truth has the ability to free us, but we have to know it. It's not enough that there is a truth. You have to know the truth. Can't we look at that from right off the get-go of salvation? Right? We know that we found out that we don't have to live under the enemy's dominion anymore, under darkness, that hell does not have to be our destination. God gave us heaven. He never intended for one person to go to hell. He gave us heaven, but we also know that heaven is acquired by how God said, which is what? Just receiving Jesus. How simple did God make it? He didn't tell you about church attendance. He didn't say you have to go through religious hoops and do backflips and cartwheels spiritually to get saved. No, He said just believe on the Son of God. That's it. Well, we found that information in the Word. And how many of you know this Bible that tells us that, it sits on bookshelves, it sits in Walmart, it sits on stores, and people walk by it all the time. And the power to set them free is in here. But just because there's truth, they don't walk by, and because there's truth, they're now set free. No, it doesn't happen until they know the truth. Amen? It doesn't happen until they know the truth. And so many people, there's so much truth in the Bible that has the ability to set you free. Truth on healing, truth on prosperity, truth on victory, truth on joy, truth on peace, truth on raising your children, truth on your family. And a lot of people are not experiencing it because they just don't know it. And so that's what we're talking about. And real quick, just last for review, go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Glory to God. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Today is going to be such an eye-opening message for people. You know, one thing I appreciate about this and what we do around here, 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, is we give you something each and every week that has the potential to change your life if you want it. You can play church if you want and come and just go through the motions, but my goodness, if we're going to come, we might as well leave with something. And he says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, look at this, grace and peace. Well, grace, a good acronym of grace that I've always remembered that sticks out to me, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, what are God's riches? God's riches are his promises. See, I'm here to tell you that one of the main reasons that people avoid God are the main reasons I avoided God for years. I thought he was this nasty entity that was up in heaven just judging me, trying to make my life hard, wanting to come down on me. I used this example last night. You know the game Whack-A-Mole? Yeah. That's what I thought God was trying to play with me. Whack-A-Mike, you know, just get me for here, get me here. He pops him over here, get him here. I didn't know about God's goodness. I didn't know that God loved me so much, that he wants to invade and bless every area of my life. He's not trying to make my life harder. He's trying to make my life better. I just didn't know about his love. And God's riches are bundled up in a package of love. Salvation, healing, prosperity, blessing, joy, victory, peace. All these things, favor, are available. And it says grace and peace. And of course, peace, the peace that Jesus offers you, is freedom from fear and torment and worry and anxiety. He says these things could be multiplied unto you. And I would think that we would all say, yeah, sign me up for that. I want to be in that line of the multiplication. When they're handing out more grace, which is more of God's ability, more of God's promises, more of God's goodness, when they're handing out peace to walk through this world and all the things that's going on in the news and all the things that we see with our eyes and hear with our ears, I want to have peace. Sign me up for that. Well, you can be signed up for it, but it comes through something. Grace and peace. I remember one time we went to an Erie Seawolves game, and that's the minor league team in Erie, Pennsylvania. I think it's a AA team, and they were doing a jersey giveaway. But the jersey giveaway was only for the first 10,000 fans, and this was a couple years ago, and Caleb, boy, he really wanted that jersey, so him and I were kind of on a baseball kick that summer, and we went. Well, he wanted that jersey, but if you're going to get that jersey, you're going to have to go through something. You're going to have to get there early, you're going to have to stand in line, and you're going to have to wait. You can't just show up anytime. You can't just go through the gates whenever you want, because they're sold out. So we went through the right channels to get him one of those jerseys. Well, you got to go through the right channels to get this grace and peace. He says the grace and peace comes through the knowledge or the knowing of God. Didn't Jesus say that you won't be free if you don't know? Well, if you don't know, the Bible tells you here, you'll be lacking grace and peace. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, verse 3, according as his divine power hath. And I mentioned last week that hath is not a present tense word. It's not a future tense word. It's a past tense word. That means we're talking about something that already has happened and has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, that's the natural realm, and godliness, the spiritual realm. Now, you have to know something about your Heavenly Father before you start getting an idea of what this all things pertain to in life. Remember the story in Matthew 7 when Jesus encountered a group of parents, and he talked about how if they're hungry, they're not going to give them a stone, right? You're not going to give them snakes. You're going to give them bread. You're going to give them fish, right? You're going to be a blessing to your children. And then he says, if you parents are good to your children, he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things? So your Father's a giver of good things. Now, why I say all things? Because I think about myself as a dad. And Jesus said in that scripture that God is a how much more dad than Pastor Mike Anderson. And I'll tell you what, I'm not perfect, but I'm a pretty good dad. How do I know? I do everything. I bless my kids, love my kids, you know, doing the best I can to help them, to be there for them, to sacrifice for them. And there's nothing that I want for my children. I never want them to be lacking. I never want them to be without. I never want them to struggle. I never want them to have inadequate of anything, right? And I'm sure neither any of you want your kids to. You want them to be abundantly supplied, taken care of, protected, right? Healthy, whole, safe, calm in their mind, not fearful, not tormented, but in peace, right? Isn't that what we want for our kids? Well, God's a how much more God. And so when he says all things, just like I want healing for my children, guess what God wants for his children? All things would be healing. So guess what? Healing has already, past tense, been provided. Well, you want adequate provision and abundant for your children, and God's a how much more God, so that all things naturally would also include a full supply for you, an abundant supply for you. Well, you want peace for your kids and do whatever you can to make peace. Well, God wants peace for you, so he's going to do whatever he can. So peace has always already been provided. You want your kids to walk in favor, so you set them up and do anything you can to make sure they have favor, right? All these things that you provide, God's a how much more God, but the thing is, he said, they're already provided. And so the sick person would say, well, if God's provided healing, why am I sick? If God's provided abundance and prosperity, why then am I still walking in lack? If he's provided peace, why am I still depressed? Why am I still anxious? Why am I worried all the time? Why am I so fearful and gripped by fear? Why are all these things not looking like they're happening? Well, there's got to be something here that we have to realize and make tweaks and adjustments, because number one, God's not a liar, and number two, God's word never fails. You need to understand that God is not your problem. He's not a liar and his word never fails. But it says that all these things pertain to life and godliness, here it is again, through the knowledge. Healing is not just like that jersey, not just going to fall out of the sky. I had to go through the right channels to get that thing. Healing does not just fall out of the sky onto you. Prosperity, well, and we got to get out of our human emotion. But I'm a good person. That doesn't mean you get healing. But I'm moral. That does not mean you get a full supply. There's a lot of good, moral, kind, loving people, and they're poor as can be, and they're broke as can be, and they're sick, and they're tormented as can be. Sweet, wonderful people. How do I know? I grew up around a lot of these sweet, wonderful, Jesus-loving, heaven-bound people who lived tormented, who lived broke, who lived sick, who lived full of fear and full of worry. And they're sweet, wonderful people. Why? It doesn't come through those things. Ignorance kept them in bondage. Ignorance causes destruction. And he said these things come through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So we're talking about knowing. But again, the natural mind and the devil always wants to try to contradict the word and undo the word and undermine the word, will say, and the thoughts will come, okay, Pastor Mike, I know about healing and I'm still sick. I know about prosperity and I'm still broke. I've heard you talk about it for years, still broke. Well, again, what's the missing piece has nothing to do with him, about him being a liar or it not working. There's things on our end, hallelujah, that we have to make sure that we're being skillful with. If God's put the instruction manual out, it's for a stinking purpose. It's for you to follow the instructions. When Pastor Scott tries to walk me through some of this tech stuff on computers when he's not with me and he gives me a list of things, he's expecting it's going to work because he knows how to work it, but he's expecting if it's going to work, you're going to have to follow the instructions. Amen? And so many of us want to bypass, in the body of Christ, the instructions just to get to the end. We want to get to the destination. Do you think that Caleb and I wanted to stand in line? It was like 2.5 hours. I couldn't believe for a minor league jersey how many people were there. And I was thinking to my son, why in the world do you have to want this stupid thing? And why do I have to love you so much that I want to see you happy with this thing, you know? But do you think we wanted to stand there for 2.5 hours and wait in line? I mean, it was a super hot sunny day, just baking in the sun to wait there for some stupid jersey that he doesn't even wear now and outgrew. We didn't want to do that, but we had to get to the end result. Well, we want to get to healing. We want to get to this abundant life. We want to get to this grace and peace multiplied. And it's available because God's not a liar. But we got to go through the right channels and know the right things and follow the instruction manual. And so go back to John 8:32, because really, this verse tells us everything that we need to know. And he said in John 8:32, if you know the truth, you'll be set free. Free from the poverty. But I know about a prosperity and I'm not set free. Maybe you don't know like you need to know. Maybe you don't know like he's telling you you need to know. Right? I mean, that could be the reason. And it is the reason, by the way. I'm going to explain some things to you. But here's what you need to know. The New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. The Old Testament was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew. But the good thing about studying here from the Word is there's things called Greek concordances and Hebrew concordances that enabled us to take a word like the word know here. That word know is translated in English from a Greek word. And the Greek language, if you study it all, is far more complex and deeper than the English language, and words have deeper meaning and just far more than the English language. That's the easiest way I can put it. But if you look up that word know in a Greek concordance, it will have a number by it, but then it will also have that Greek word that they took, that Greek word, and translated it in English. And that Greek word you need to know, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, is the word ginosko. And that's G-I-N-O-S-K-O. I'm not going to test you later on how to spell the ginosko. But anyways, that's the word ginosko. And it has meaning in that word. Well, here's what's interesting. If you drop back to Luke chapter 1, let's go to the Christmas story. Luke chapter 1. Because remember what Jesus said. If you know the truth, you'll be set free. So what's standing between you and your freedom? Knowing. Do you see that? It's not your job. It's not the symptoms. It's not circumstances. It's not last name or situations of life or culture or country. No, it's knowing or not knowing. That's it. Praise God. Well, then, what is that knowing? Because here's what we need to know about knowing. We need to know something about the knowing. We need to know what this knowing looks like, and thank God we have examples. Because if we're not modeling this knowing, then we're not walking in this knowing, and we need to know how to get this knowing. And so in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, this is the Christmas story where the angel appeared to Mary, told her she was going to have Jesus. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's wondering what's going on. And the angel said in her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So he's told, Mary's just told, a virgin now, a teenage girl, that you're going to have a baby. His name's going to be Jesus. He's going to go on to do these things. And Mary asks a very logical question that should be asked of a 16-year-old girl who's a virgin, is told she's going to have a baby. She says, Mary said unto the angel, How is this going to be? How can this be, seeing I know not a man? Right? Now, for the sake of little ears and spoiling the great talk that you get to have with your children someday, that I'm planning on having at least with Caleb in October. He said to me yesterday, because we were talking about deer hunting, he said, Dad, I need to know, what does it mean when a doe goes in heat? I said, talk to me in a month. I told you, and hunting season starts and the rut kicks up, we're going to talk about this stuff, son. But so I'm going to tread lightly here because I'm not here to spoil that fun that you all get to have. And because my kids are not listening to this, I am going to record that whole conversation. Video and everything. iPad in one place, the phone. I want angles. I want facial expressions. I want it all. It's going to be fun. But she says, I don't know a man. Well, what's interesting about that word know is the same word know that Jesus used from the Greek, the word genosko. Why? Because they're the same thing. Well, in this verse here, again, treading lightly, what it's talking about is becoming intimately acquainted with a man, right? We know that not just knowing somebody produces a baby and like how we know them. So it's not talking about knowing. I know a lot of you. But not like that. And everybody said, amen. Right? Hallelujah. And so we know that knowing is a deeper knowing than just I know. Now think about how that relates to the word then. He said, if you know genosko, to become intimately acquainted, and we see the connotations of what that means, he says, if you know the truth, you'll be set free. Well, I'm here to tell you that most people do not know the word that intimately. Now, knowing a man in God's eyes, you have to understand in Ephesians 5 and verse 31, it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Now, What's he talking about? The knowing process. When the two become one flesh in the knowing process, God doesn't see the people as separate people. He sees that two have become one. The knowing process for in God's eyes of the knowing of a man and a woman, in that process, there's the joining together of something, one coming together with something else, becoming one thing. That's how God sees it, just so you know. Well, Jesus said, if you would know genosko, become intimately acquainted like this with the word, that would be you joining to the word and not being separate from what that word says, but becoming one with what that word says. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Because when you become one with the word, then you have reached the level of knowing that will cause you to then be set free. See, we know each other and know of each other, but we don't know each other that way. Right? Think about most people. They know of healing. That's what we talked about. They know of prosperity. They've heard it. I know prosperity. I know it belongs to me. Okay, but it's not, but knowing about somebody is not the same of knowing somebody. Knowing about the word is not the same as becoming one with the word. What does it mean to become one with the word? I'm going to show you examples here, and we're going to look, and then we'll talk about our own lives. Go back even further in Luke to Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, this is where light bulbs will start going off and people will say, okay, I can see why my healing has eluded me. If the promises that he already provided come through the knowledge or the knowing, if freedom comes through knowing, if getting out of the destruction category comes from knowing, now I'm finding out what does this knowing look like? What this knowing actually is? And maybe, just maybe, your knowing of these topics haven't been to that intimate or deep of a place. Could be. Amen. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. and her name was Elizabeth. So we're talking about Zachariah and Elizabeth, who ends up being the parents of John the Baptist. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. So they can't have children. It's impossible. Too old. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, so he's a priest, he's going to do priestly things, his job was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without or outside at the time of incense. So he's in the temple doing his job. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Now this is the same angel that appeared to Mary, just so you know. And notice they doing about the same exact thing. You're going to have a baby, this is going to be the name, and this is what they're going to do. And both babies were named that, and both babies did exactly what the angel said was going to happen. He said, verse 15, verse 14, "And he shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither strong wine nor drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," or Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the obedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, so here the angel appears up and tells him, now angels don't speak on their own behalf, they speak what God speaks. So he's telling him the word of God. What I'm going to show you is the difference between somebody that knows about something and somebody that knows something. And then we can look at our own lives. He said, whereby shall I know this? Now, if you look at other translations, newer, modern, that explain this better and word it maybe a little easier, he's asking, how can I know that this thing is for sure? What proof can I see? Right? One translation says, how can I believe this? Right? Now, what he's saying is he's basically saying, I need some proof on this. Okay? What he's saying about the word. And I love what the angel said. The angel answered and said to him, "Hey, dummy. I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God." What he's basically saying is, how can you be sure of this? Because of what just came out of my mouth. The word that I'm telling you can be sure of. "And I am sent to speak unto you to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb," talking about not be able to speak, be mute. "And you shall not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed." Now notice this. "Because you believe not my words," which were not his words, they were God's words. Right? So we see the picture of somebody getting a word, knowing about the word, but not believing the word. Right? Now drop over. We'll go to save some time with Mary, because we already looked at some of her situation. Let's go to verse 34, Luke 1:34, where the angel just said everything Jesus is going to do. He's going to be born, be a virgin born, this is what he's going to do. And it would appear on the surface without digging that Mary's response was the same as Zacharias. And Gabriel was not pleased with Zacharias' response. Why? God's never pleased with doubt and unbelief. But Mary asks a different question. She's a teenage girl who's never known a man, told she's going to be pregnant. That would blow your mind. Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I'm not a man?" She didn't say, "I need proof this could happen." She's asking, I've never known a man. Like, in her mind, naturally, she's thinking, "I'd have to know a man to have a baby. Like, how can this happen?" Not, "Give me proof that it's going to happen." And the angel answered and told her, "The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, Mary, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So now Mary knows, okay, now even though that's told of her, it's still crazy naturally. There's still no natural science or education or books or anything that she can go to that someone can confirm that she can have a baby as a virgin. There's nothing that says that. Not that she can get that answer from. But now the angel told her how it's going to happen. So let's find out what Mary's response is. Verse 36, and behold your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Well, let's look at Mary's response. And Mary said, not what Zacharias said, how can I know that this is going to happen? Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. She didn't walk out of that place dumb, not being able to speak till Jesus was born. Well, what was there? There was a contrast, stark difference of two people's responses to what the word said to them. What does it look like? Now, this is going to help us now. What does it look like when a person knows the word? Well, we talked about that word knowing. They become intimately acquainted with it. When a person in God's eyes, a husband and wife, know each other, they're not separate entities. Two become one. How do we know the word? When the word and you are joined and they become one. What does that mean? When the word told Mary she's going to be pregnant as a virgin by the Holy Ghost, Mary became one with that word and said, that's just the way it is. I am now what that word says I am. Zacharias heard the word and said, I need proof on this. I know what you're saying and love what you're saying. Well, now let's think about ourselves. The Bible calls you healed. Well, I know about healing, Pastor Mike, but I'm still sick. Okay. Have you joined intimately with that to the point where you no longer are separate and there's healing available, where you become the healed of the Lord? Before the symptoms disappear, before the sickness goes away. What's that mean? I'm no longer separate from what the word says I am. I am right now in my place of sickness and disease, symptoms of my body. I am the healed of the Lord. That's joining with what he says. I'm here to tell you, most people don't ever get there. Because the symptoms are too loud. The doctor's report's too loud. Well, Philippians 4:19 says you're fully supplied. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says you're rich. But your circumstances, your checkbook, your bills say you're not rich. But the word says you are and fully funded. I know all about prosperity, Pastor Mike. Heard you preach it, but here I'm walking in poverty. Have you become intimately acquainted where no longer you're separate from richness and prosperity? You have become that through the joining and union of the word. When a husband and wife, it's no longer just the man, just the woman. God sees a joined union of one. To get the freedom that God is offering, you have to know the truth. Genosko, the truth. You have to become intimately acquainted with it. Well, what's the intimately acquainted with that God's looking at? Become one with it. Abraham was what? Told he was going to have a father, or son, right? Told he was going to be a dad. And the Bible says, being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body, now dead, being yet 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, right? Staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but with strong faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. 100-year-old man, at first, what? He knew what God said, but he laughed at it. He knew what God said, but yet went out and made a baby his own way, apart from Sarah. Ishmael, result of that. He knew of what God said. Oh, we know of healing. We hear it all the time. We know of prosperity. We hear it all the time. We know peace is ours all the time. We hear it all the time. When are we going to join with it and become one with it? Now, that's what we're going to talk about next week, how to get into that knowing. I'm almost done here today, but we're going to talk about that next week, getting into the knowing to help you get there, because it's not enough just to know it. It wasn't enough just Abraham know the word. He had to become that word. God helped him so much. God changed his name to that word. Abram, you're not Abram anymore. You're Abraham, which in the Hebrew means father of many nations. He called him a dad before. Well, the Bible said finally Abraham adopted what God said and went around what? Giving glory to God. I'm having a son. I'm fully persuaded. I'm convinced. He started painting the nursery, started getting the baby things ready. Right? Why? I'm a dad. He joined with the word. and was no longer separate from I'm a man who doesn't have a child, but the word says, no, God says that's for me, I'm joining with it, that's who I am. God says you're healed, you join with that word. You know, for 2 years, I went through what the doctors called an incurable chronic condition that was the most severe, lengthy, lasting pain that I have ever had in my life. And just to remind you of that, for 2 years, I never slept more than 2 hours, and I went through all the tests, went doctors, they said, we have no answers for you. We don't know why your body's doing this. We have no medicine, nothing that they could give me would even touch it. It was hell on earth. And I didn't sleep for more than 2 hours in a row for 2 years. That is not an exaggeration. When I told my testimony, I told people I won't try to magnify and be outrageous or outlandish, and I'm not going to hold back either. I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to tell you the way it was. And the thing with this condition I had is food would ease the pain that I was having in my body for a few hours. But then when the food would digest, it would cause things in my body to happen that was hell on earth. And so food became this constant struggle every single time I was hungry. Do I eat to get the immediate relief and pay the price? So I went through a 16-day fast in 2 years. I went through a 9-day fast and several 3- or 4-day fasts. But here the whole time, this is when we're running midweek services in Allegheny, running midweek services in South Dayton, and I'm doing 4 services a week, driving back and forth, pastoring, counseling, being a dad, doing things around the house. I need to eat. Pain was so bad, I did a wedding one time, sweat so bad through that thing, got back home, was able to literally wring water out of my suit. It was hell on earth. And I'll tell you, when you're facing those kind of things, that's loud. When you can't sleep and you can't eat the basic functions of life, you feel like you're going insane. Like, I can't get relief here. Well, go with me real quick to Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. And again, next week we'll show you how to get there, because I want you all to get there. Because it's not enough to know that I've heard Pastor Mike preach on healing. That's not how you get free. You got to join with that word. You got to become intimately acquainted with that word. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. So here, this was my word during that test and trial. For I will restore health unto you. Well, before those 2 years, I didn't have that. So something was taken from me. I needed health restored unto me. And then he said, and I will heal you of your wounds. Well, there's something wounded in my body that was not digesting food properly and causing things in my bloodstream and in my gut to cause things to happen to me that they had no answers for. I needed health restored, and I needed my wounds healed. And no doctor could help me. But thank God I know the great physician. Amen. But Pastor Mike Anderson doesn't get freedom because he's a preacher. I don't get freedom because I preach about healing. That doesn't equal. I have to know the truth to be free. But what's knowing the truth? Not just knowing healing's available, not just knowing about healing, becoming one with the healing message. What does that mean? For that to come to pass in my life, I need to join it where what that is who I am in the way I'm thinking, the way I'm talking, the way I'm expecting. And so I went through the channels that we'll talk about next week, and I got so one with this that a year into this, I started preaching on my daily walks with my dog, because I didn't stop walking my dog. I said, I'm not going to stop doing what I need to do. I'm not stopping. And there'd be times I'd be in tears on that walk, bent over, doubled over, and someone would drive by, and I'd stand up to not have them notice me and just hardly make it. But on those walks, it's precious time with me, with God, to worship Him, to be alone, to confess, to declare things. And I would get where I would get done with my confessions and declaring and my thanking God for what I'm believing Him for and what's coming to pass. And then I would be on the back part of my walk. It's a 4-mile walk, 2 miles one way, 2 miles the other way. And I would start preaching from a standpoint of a healed person. And I would start preaching my testimony. And I would start preaching of what I'm going through and what it was like, and fasting for 16 days and being so hungry and so weak, and then eating, and it all got reversed, and everything just was, I preached it like I was healed. Why? Because I became so intimate with that word that was my reality. Yeah, I still felt the symptoms. And yeah, the thoughts were knocking at the door of my mind that it's always going to be that way. But I became like Abraham. I became healed when everything said I wasn't. And I don't mean naturally became healed. the knowing, it starts in the spirit realm before it shows up in the natural realm. I became one with it. Well, how many of us can say right now, in our current situations, that we are one with what the Bible says? What's that mean? You only think that way. You only talk and live your life that way. Let's be honest, we get excited here and we walk out and we're laying there in bed and we grumble and we complain and we moan and groan and we think thoughts of hopelessness, despair. What are we saying? We never became one with that word. When I started the church, 11 years ago, quit my job to stay home with Caleb, pastor the church full time. You know the story, $2,000 short every month. Well, how does somebody get to be free from that level of poverty? That's poverty. When you are $2,000 short of meeting your needs, that's poverty. How does somebody get free of that? Philippians 4:19 was my answer. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, we know of that verse. Man, we can quote that verse. But people can say, my needs aren't being met. If my needs are being met by his riches and glory, he must not have very many riches and glory, people must be thinking at times. Well, it's not enough just to know of it. It's not enough to know about it. Have you become it? 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says you're rich. Well, most people say, I'm not rich. Look at my bank account. No, you're missing the whole thing. I'm not rich when the money shows up. I'm rich because Jesus told me I'm rich. I'm not healed when the healing shows up. I'm healed because God told me I'm already healed. You got to know that word, join, come together, become intimately acquainted. When you are no longer separate from that word, you are that word. What's that mean? I am rich right now when I'm poor as can be for 2 years. And I would declare that I am rich. Rich people have a full supply, therefore the money comes to me. And you know my result. We got freedom from that. But what was that? It wasn't somebody just knew about it and just echoing. No. I did what we're going to talk about next week and became so one with that that I got excited about being down $2,000 short. Because why? I was fully supplied. I became abundance. My mind got so renewed. It's becoming what the word says you are. What Mary did. You say I'm going to be a virgin, it's going to be pregnant. So be it. That's who I am then. Hallelujah. That's what it's about. And if we're honest with ourselves, we want these things and they elude us and we get thoughts that faith doesn't work or I'm doing something wrong. Maybe, just maybe, we have not intimately joined together with what God has said and the level of knowing that will get us into that freedom. Because what it boils down to in that level of knowing is faith. Because when you get to that level of knowing, your faith is through the roof. You are in full belief that you're healed. You're in full belief that you're provided for. You're in full belief it's going to turn around. And most of us, a lot of times, I've been there, just don't get to that place. But we have no excuses not to get to that place. And next week, I'm going to tell you how to get to that place of knowing. How can we actually get when our symptoms are screaming at us? I'm telling you, I walked with symptoms and tears and pain and sweat and hunger and sleeplessness, knowing I am healed of God. I would face a new month and be $2,000 short and have no idea I'm going to pay for anything, groceries, gas, food, my bills, and laugh and rejoice because I knew that I knew I was abundance and it was mine. That's what we need to get to in all the words that God has given us. And I'll tell you, there's things even God has spoke to me about that I realize, oh, you know what? I know of that. I've talked about that. I've heard. I have not become one with that. My talk would be different. And we could say, probably all say that about ourselves. But praise God for the Holy Ghost that says, digs these things up and reveals them so now we can fix them. Amen. So next week we're going to look at going down the right channels to get to this place. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us today. We're so grateful for the word. It's so rich. It's so wonderful. We never take it for granted. And I'm not talking about the preaching. And I'm not talking about the preacher. I mean that. I mean the word. Lord, the stuff that you give me, Lord, it's easy to do my job because the material is so wonderful. I could just stand up here and read Bible verses and we'd all be blessed because the material is so rich. The material is so life-changing. So thank you for the substance of the word, the feeding of the word. We're blessed. We're thankful. Father, help us to receive these messages. Father, help us to to walk into this level of knowing that Abraham achieved. This level of knowing that Mary achieved when these people were faced with such natural impossibilities, such symptoms and circumstances that would be beating down their neck and just trying to overshadow them, and yet they got to the place where they became sold out and convinced that they were what the Word said they were. Help us to get there. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We thank you that we're going into these places. We're going down this road, Father, for change. We love you this morning. Just love on him. What I mean by that, just tell him you love him. Hallelujah. Love you, Lord. Love you so much. Now, if I could ask a favor of everybody here, not because I'm trying to be bossy or tell you what to do, but just out of respect for everybody, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, just, again, out of respect, I'm not trying to be bossy. But man, the greatest promise that God ever gave us was the opportunity to be his child and go to heaven. Now, again, you know, people will say that Christianity is so closed-minded or that it's whatever. No. The truth of Christianity is founded in a loving God who cares about people. So much so that he gave his son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven and go and be with a perfect God and be loved. And hell was not created for you. Heaven was created for you. And God wants you to go there. And everyone that's watching online, God wants you to go there. But, you know, again, it takes going through channels, and thank God it's not church attendance. It's not morality. It's not immorality that keeps you out. It's not lack of church attendance that keeps you out. No, it's just Jesus. That's what's so wonderful. Jesus is the bridge. I mean, thank God there's a bridge. Thank God he made a way. And it's simple. It's free. I know churches and religion will want to make you pay for this, and I don't just mean financial. I mean pay, like, in penance and works and in good deeds and earn this, but it's so free. It's this loving gift that God gave us, salvation. He cares about you so much. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this service or you're watching online, you could say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I would be saved and be with God when my life is over. I want to give you that invitation. This isn't an invitation to join a church or to become a member of something. It's an invitation to receive God's mercy and love. That's what I'm trying to get through to people this morning. He's a loving God. I don't care what you've thought about him, what you've heard about him. I'm here to tell you, he loves you so much. He cares about you so much. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass anybody. If you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus, something in your heart saying, you know, wow, something struck me today. Something touched me like never before. Don't ignore that. Don't pass that by. That's God knocking on your heart. He wants entrance. Why? To help you. To make your life better. He wants you to experience him. If you're here this morning, you say, I want to receive Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't ask you to come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, would you just lift your hand in the air? I'll have you put it right back down. No pressure on anybody. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. If there's anybody at all, just lift your hand. I'll have you put it on. And if you don't want to raise your hand, that's fine too. Raising your hand doesn't get you saved. That's not how we're saved. And plus, I can't see anybody online anyways. That is, I like to know who it is so I can pray for you and I can help you and follow up with you. But is there anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in the building. But like I said, you didn't say raising our hands in church is the qualification for salvation. But you did say in Romans 10 and verse 9, that if we should confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. You made it so simple. So if you're here this morning or you're watching online now or in the future via the archive and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I encourage you, don't let this day pass you by. Again, it's as simple as calling on his name. Not about church, not about what you're going to change in your life. No, it's just, Jesus, you gave me this. You did it for the whole world, and if I believe on you, I'm saved. And I just encourage you to pray a prayer, and it would sound something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. I don't understand everything, but something in my heart that I've never felt before, that I've never experienced, I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that my goodness, he'll love you so much, he'll save you. Whether you step foot in church ever again, whether you do anything for him, read the Bible, that's not how it works. And if you pray that prayer for the first time, you're watching online, or if you're in this service, please send me an email or give me a phone call. I'm not trying to make your life hard or just trying to help you going forward. There's so much that God wants for you that I want for you that I didn't know until somebody told me. So let's thank him for this. Thank you, Father, for making it easy. And if you're watching or here and you want help with that prayer, my goodness, look me up. Come see me after service. Give me a call. Shoot me a text message. But Father, thank you for making this easy. Thank you for loving us. Now, what's interesting before we close, you can open your eyes, is as I'm on my way to church this morning, I knew that there was going to be healing available, and there's healing available here, but I knew that there were going to be people watching by live stream that would need to be healed. What's interesting, after the Lord put that in my heart, I learned of two cases that I didn't even know about from in our own church of people going through stuff. And so I want to offer that healing. You know, remember in Matthew 8 where Jesus was going to go to the centurion's house, and the centurion said, I don't need you to come over, you know, just speak the word only and I'll be healed. Well, what's he saying? That belief in the power of God can go distances. It can travel. And so if you're here this morning and you need healing, that's great. Receive this too. But I knew specifically by live stream, and I'm sure there's more than just the two cases, but it was interesting when that was put on my heart on the way, and then I get here and find out of two cases of people that need healing. So if you're watching online and you need healing in your body right now, we know that God's a healer. That the Bible says he's the great physician. He says he takes sickness away from the midst of us. And so I'm just going to stretch forth my hands. I'm not the healer, but the Bible talks about laying hands on the sick, and we're going to speak the word. Just receive if you're watching by live stream or here and you need healing. Father, we thank you for that healing power. We command that healing power that you've offered us, Father, to go into those bodies from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, driving out sickness and disease right now. We thank you. The anointing's going forth. The same way the anointing went forth to centurion's servant in Matthew 8. There was no hands laid on. There was no specific prayer over a person. It was just the release of faith, and the healing anointing traveled and fixed that situation. So we thank you. The healing anointing is going forth now, causing sickness and disease to be driven out. We thank you, Father, that we have authority over these things, that the anointing and the healing power of God is more powerful and more dynamic than any sickness, any symptom at all. So if you're out there, you just say, I receive, and begin to thank him. Begin to rejoice and thank him for your healing. Begin to rejoice and thank him all day long. Father, I thank you I'm healed, that you loved me so much that you would put it on my pastor's heart to minister to me when I'm not even there. That's how much he loves you. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for that healing power, God. And we thank you for testimonies. We thank you for results. We thank you. You are good and faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you run out of here, remember, no fellowship today. The picnic's next week. Service is going to start at 9. I'll send you a text reminding you. Wednesday service, 6:30. Love you. Appreciate you. Have a good rest of your weekend. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.